Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, a brand new Masechta, Maseches Erechin. We begin at the Mishnah on top, HaKoil Ma'arichin. So, Erech is where a person pledges another person's value. Now we're talking about a set fixed rate value as prescribed in the Torah, which is based on age and gender, different rates based on how old, etc. So all can commit themselves to the erechin process. Hakol ma'arichin, where you point at somebody, that person's erech is upon me. I'm committing to donate that rate to the Beis Hamikdash. V'nei erechin, likewise, anybody can be a subject of somebody else's erech. Somebody could point to him and say, I am giving his erech. Or a person could point at himself. Erechi alai, I'm committing to my erech. And he's obligated to forward the rate, which prescribes to his age, etc., to the Beis HaMikdash. Hakol ma'arichin, you can make an erech on someone else, v'nei erechin. And you can be the subject of an erech by someone else or yourself. Neidrin v'nidarin. Now this is a different type of pledge. Neder is a different track than Erech. Neder is based on actual market value. If you would be sold as a slave in the market. So you can commit to someone's value. You are Neder. Okay, Rashi says, Demei Pliny Alai. The worth of that person is upon me to donate. V'nidarin, likewise, anybody can be the subject of someone else's Neder. So Rashi on the top line explains, Hakol ma'arichin erech kasev parsha, neder means dmei alai, v'shamim oisei ke'evanin k'rishuk. Okay, so clearly we have two different tracks. Erech is kasev parsha, as per prescribing the Torah. We have the rates, fixed rates, based on the variables, the age and the gender, and we have neder, which is the actual value, ke'evad hanim k'rishuk, the value of an evad sold in the market. So all can be marech, can be nerech, can be noider, can be neither. And when we say all, it covers all segments of Klal Yisrael. Kayhanim, Levim, Bisraelim, Noshim, Va'avadim. Rashi points out when it comes to these two, Noshim, Va'avadim, you have to wait until they're able to pay off. Rashi says when the Isha is divorced, so she has her own money, and the Eved is freed, at that point they have to pay up for the pledge that they made while still in their previous status, married, and in the case of the Eved, enslaved. Now what about Tumtum Vadreganus? Tumtum is a fellow whose gender signs are covered up, concealed. Andreganus is one who has both gender signs. So they can be neider, why not? They can refer to someone and say, well, we're giving that person's value. Vinidaran, they can be subject of a neder as well. They have market value. Rashi says, look, Shari Yishlam Damim, why not? They have market value. But when it comes to Erech, it's only a one-way deal. Umar Richin, they can commit to someone else's Erech, but they themselves cannot be the subject of somebody else's Erech. Avalei Nerech. Why? Because for that you have to be a definite male or definite female, as opposed to this sort of cross situation. Sheina Nerech, the only one who has the ability to be a Nerech, subject of an Erech, Elo, Hazochar Vadai, only Zochar Vadai, and Akeva Vadai, as opposed to these two individuals who don't have definite gender status. What about a Cherish, deaf mute, Shaita, deranged, Vakatan, underage, whose mental capabilities are not really fully developed? In which case, they can be the subject of someone else's Erech or Neder because they have value. And their fixed rate doesn't change. Nidoran v'nerachan, avaloi noidrin v'lemarichan. But they themselves cannot pledge anything, whether neder or erach. V'pnei she'im v'em das. Because they don't have fully developed mental capacities, in which case they can't commit themselves to any sort of pledge to the Beis HaMikdash. Now the Mishnah began with the word hakoil, which is an inclusive term. Typically that covers something that was unsaid. And that's the question. Hakoil ma'arichin, la'asu yimai. What's that coming to cover? What are you including? Who else has the ability to make an erech? La'asu yei muflas amachlish. Rashi explains. We're speaking he's within a year of adulthood. So by a male, he just turned 12. By a female, she just turned 11. And they can verbally commit themselves to donating things to the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why they call them mufla, Rashi says, because you have to examine their intent. You have to check them out. Im yudea lahaflos lafarish, says Rashi, if they can express their intent as, in fact, something which was intended and mindful, l'shemi nadar, who are they donating to Hashem? So if they have that ability, they have that focus, that understanding, then their pledge is valid. L'asuyu some mufla, who's samach l'ish, whose age is close enough to adulthood. And that's what's covered with words hakol, hakol marichan, to cover even someone who's technically underage but has the ability to commit themselves. What about ne'er rochen? Rashi explains that the word hakol, which is the opening word of the Mishnah, covers all phrases in the Mishnah. So hakol marichan, hakol goes on ne'er rochen, hakol goes on noidrin, etc. We can go down the list. That all of them have this inclusive state which covers something which is unsaid. So the hakol which goes on ne'erachim, who else can be the subject matter of somebody else's erach? Asuyi mai, who are we including in this? Asuyi menuval mukashchin. Person's menuval, very unclean, unsightly, mukashchin, he's full of boils. You know, he can't really be considered someone with market value. He's not really marketable as a slave. So you can't make a nether on him, but you can make an erech on him, because his fixed erech rate stated in the Torah, that doesn't it's unaffected by his unmarketability. And that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. I would think perhaps there's room to think nether be'erkech haksiv. The pasuk refers to nether, which is the actual value system, together with the word be'erkech, which is the fixed rate system, ksiv. It sort of binds them together in one breath. Perhaps they're linked. And they go together. Called Shieshna Bedamim, a fellow who's in when it comes to Damim. He has value, so Neder would apply to him. Likewise, Yeshna Be'erchan. Erchan applies to him as well, but otherwise, maybe not. If you're out, you're out. But Kol She'ena Bedamim, Damim is not applicable to you, like Menubalim Ukashchin. Perhaps, likewise, Eina Be'erchan. Erchan aren't either applicable. Kamashman, the point is Nefashis. The Pasuk says Nefashis. Any life. Kolodu. So even this fellow, who erech doesn't apply to, well, damim does apply. What about hakol noidrin? All can commit themselves in a nether. What are we including there? I'll see you mind. Nedarin istrichlei. The truth is, the main point is the next thing. Hakol nedarin, that was the focal point, and hakol noidrin is sort of for symmetry. So what's the novelty with nedarin? Nedarin istrichlei. So what's that coming to add? The Dor Nasuyimai, what's that coming to cover? To cover those fellows and teach us that they can be subject of a nether. Well, that's explicitly stated in the Mishnah. Clearly says it in the Mishnah. We don't need to include it with the extra words. That's discussed clearly in the Mishnah, that although they can't partake in Erech, but they can partake in being a nether. Perhaps to cover these fellows, that they can be subject of a nether, behedik tanilu. Once again, that's the last line of the Mishnah. They could be part of a nether. Perhaps to teach us that even a newborn, less than a month old, who hasn't yet crossed that minimum age threshold to be considered as an erech, there's no erech for such a young kid, but he has market value, and therefore you can make a nether on him. Perhaps that's what the Mishnah is covering. Be'edik Tanilu, again, that's been discussed already in the Mishnah later in this parak. Vila Suyev Kichav, perhaps to cover a goy, despite him not having an erech, perhaps you think you can't do another. The answer is you could. Perhaps that's the point of the Mishnah. Be'edik Tanilu, again, that's discussed later in the Mishnah. Lo'il Masuyev Bachz Mechidish. Truthfully, it's going on the newborn. So why the repetition? You know, sometimes the Mishnah does that. We'll sort of present it in general and then get more specific about it. But Tani first expressed it as part of this opening statement, and then it goes on to elaborate and explain it later on in the parak. Okay, so the term hakoil is inclusive, covering things which were not yet said. So now let's go through other instances throughout Shas where the word hakoil is found, and what's that coming to cover? So first on the list is smicha, where you lean on the animal before the akrava, you confess, right? A very personal experience, where the Ramban actually says, the person is meant to imagine himself as though he is going to be offered on the mizbeach, that the behemoth is merely in his stead. Hakol samchan, all can perform smicha. Hakol, what's being included in this? Lasu yemai, lasu yerish, inheritor. His father designated a carbon, then passed away. The son can now do smicha on the father's carbon, because he took over for the father. It was transferred to him. He's considered the current, the new owner. Unlike Rabbi Yehuda, who says that a Yerush is not considered the actual original owner, and therefore he cannot do smicha, which has to be done by the owner only. Next on the list, Hakol Memirin. All have the ability to perform a tmura, where you take the carbon and put another animal next to it, and you say it should be an exchange, and the Kedusha should be transferred and extended over to that one. Hakol Memirin, all can do that. Losu Yimai, who are we covering with Hakol? Losu Yerush, once again, the Yerush on his father's carbon. He's considered the new owner. But like Rabbi Yehuda, unlike Rabbi Yehuda, says that the Yerush doesn't have the ability to do tmura because he's not considered the actual owner, the father was. The Sani, where do we find this discussion? Says the Brice, the Chachamim hold, Yerush can be Samech, Yerush can be Memer. He's considered the current owner because he's sort of stepped into his father's shoes. Rabbi Yehuda, no, Yerush ain't a Samech, Yerush ain't a Memer. He cannot. My time with Rabbi Yehuda, what's Rabbi Yehuda's position based on? Where's the source? Because if you look at the pasuk that speaks about smicha, right? It says korbanai, and actually Rashi says it said it three times in that context. So we have three applications for the word korbanai, three limitations. It has to be yours. It's a personal experience. Korbanai v'le korban aviv, as opposed to his father's korban. So that's how he knows that a yerush cannot do smicha. And now from there he's going to learn that he cannot do tmura as well. Now smicha is considered soif hegdish because it's at the very end of the process, right before the akrova, whereas tmura is considered tchilas hegdish in the context of our Gemara, because that's an initiation of a kedusha on an animal. Tosis points out that actually elsewhere we find that tmura is called soif hegdish. Yeah, he says it's all about context. There we're talking relative to the first carbon, it's considered a copy in a second. But here we're speaking relative to the smicha, which takes place at the end of the process. So versus that, the tmura process is really the beginning, because it initiates the kedusha on the animal, despite being a copy of the real original. In any case, Rabbi is going to compare yolof tchilas hegdish misayf hegdish. He's going to say, just like by smicha, which is saif hegdish, a yerush is out. Tchilas hegdish, which is the tmura process which endows the animal with kedusha, will not be allowed by a yerush. Masayf hegdish, just like the end, which is a smicha yerush einu seimich. Likewise, the making of a tmura could only be done by the actual owner, as opposed to a yerush who's not really considered the actual owner. After tchilas hegdish, yerush is locked out from tmura einu mimer. V'rabbanan, Rabbanan respond to that, hamer yamer. The rabbi says a yerush. Just the opposite, we find an extra expression by tmura, hamer yamer. That duplication allows even a yerush to be considered like the owner and do the tmura. And from there we learn to smicha, v'yalfino seif hegdish. We learn smicha, which is at the end of the process, v'tchilas hegdish v'tmura, which is the beginning of the process. Ma'tchilas hegdish, just like tmura, which is the beginning, is done even by a yerush, yerush meimer, av seif hegdish. Likewise, the smicha, which is at the very end of the process, yerush, can be smich. Fine. So each one substantiates his position, but what does each one do with the pasuk of his opponent, v'rabbanon? What did he do with karbanai, which according to Rabbi Yehuda, locked out the Yerush? They apply it as follows. We have three karbonais. Here goes. First one is karbonai v'le karbon oiv kecham. Don't do it to a guy's karbon. So you can't do smich on his behalf. Karbonai, the second one, v'le karbon chaver, nor can you do it on behalf of your fellow Jew. The third karbonai, the rabbis, called bali chayven l'smicha. Bali chayven are all the members of this group. It was a group karbon owned by many. Every single one has to do the smicha, rather than one doing it on behalf of the whole group. It's a very personal procedure which each one has to do personally. Okay, so all three karbanas are used up. For Rabbi Yehuda, he responds, well, he has to use karbanai to rule out the yerush. So how does he know all these halachis? He says, L'rabi is called Bali Chayver and L'smicha Lesley. Although, perhaps, one option is he disagrees with this last halacha. He says all the members of the group carpet don't have to do smicha. So that frees up one pasuk to teach us karbonai v'lo yorish. V'inami isli, alternatively, even if he does have this opinion that all the members have to do smicha, return them a base, but we could bundle up, we could condense two into one and learn two halachas from the same pasuk, which once again frees up one of the psukim to rule out the yerush. To disallow you to do the smicha on behalf of a guy or your fellow Jew, really it's one and the same concept, that it has to be personal without representation. Mechat kor nafka, it's learned from the same pasuk. So one karbonah is to rule out your other person's karbon. Two are left. Yatri lutre. We have two karbonahs. One is chad karbonah v'le karbon aviv, to rule out the yerush. It has to be yours, not your father's. V'idach. And the third one is for the group karbon. The rabbi is to include all the members of the group called Bali Chayvrin L'Smich. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda, one last point. What does Rabbi Yehuda do with the Pasuk of the Rabbanan? Hi, Homer, Yomer, why have we? What do you do with that Pasuk? Which, according to Rabbanan, allow the, authorize the Yerush to do it. Mibayli. He applies it as follows. L'Rabbi says Isha, to empower an Isha to make a tumura. I would think perhaps it's limited to males. The sani, we have a brisa, the shkola inyan. If you look closely at the psukim regarding tumura, hammer, yammer, it's male oriented. Eina medaber el washen zachar, relates to males. Masa feina l'rabbi is isha. How do we know to include even a woman? Talmud leimar, comes the pasuk v'him hammer yammer, which is that duplication, that repetition, to teach that even an isha who makes a tumura, that tumura is valid. V'rabbanan. Now how do rabbanan know that an isha is included? Maybe im, because the word im starts with a vav, the extra vav features that an isha is included. Rabbi Yehuda vim loydar. Rabbi Yehuda does not expound on the extra vav. Okay, so that settles that. Bottom line, what about a yerush doing a smicha or tmura? Rabbanan say sure. Tmura is from hamer yamer. Smicha learns from tmura. Rabbi Yehuda says no way. He's not considered the real owner, and it's learned from karbonai. Only yours, not his father's. And he learns tumura from smicha. And all agree that an isha can make tumura, whether it's from imham yamer or from the vav. Where else do we find the word hakoil, that inclusive term, coming to cover something which was not listed? Hakol chayev besuka. Lasu yimai, what's that covering? Lasu yikatan. Shein tzarech l'imai, to cover even a small child, a small boy, who's already old enough. He doesn't need his mother desperately. When he wakes up at night, Rashi says, what's the telling sign? When he wakes up, he doesn't call out, mother, mother, mommy, mommy, right? So once he gets past that point, he's not so hooked on his mother. To the extent that he can go spend the night out with his father in the sukkah. So he's chayiv in sukkah mit rabban. This nun, katan, shein tzarech l'imai, the child has already outgrown his intense need for his constant attachment with his mother. You never outgrow the your mother, just the intense attachment, right? Chai basukkah, he's obligated to be in the sukkah, and of course this is chinuch with the rabbanon, to train him to be a good Jew. Chayiv melulav, all are chayiv melulav. Who's that covering? Once again, lasuyi mai, to cover who? Lasuyi katan, to cover a katan. Ideal aneu has the ability, who knows how to shake the lulav around. It's not as we learn in the Mishnah. Katan ideal aneu. Once he gets to that point, chayiv melulav. What about kachayim betzitzis? All are chayim betzitzis. Lasu yimai, to cover who? Lasu yikatan. Once again, the katan. The idealist atav got to the point that he can wrap himself with his tzitzis. He used to actually take the talus and wrap it around their face. So if he knows how to do that, he knows how to do mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis properly, then he's chayim betzitzis. The sanya, as we learned in a brisa, katan. Ha-idealist atav is chayim betzitzis. Hakol chayev mitfilin, lasuyi mai, what that's covering, lasuyi mai, lasuyi katan idealish mitfilin, a katan who knows how to take care of his tefillin, keep his body clean and appropriate for the tefillin. Asanya, katan idealish mitfilin, if he has that ability, aviv lekeach letfilin, his father buys him a pair of tefillin. Now you notice a difference. Here it says aviv lekeach letfilin, let's go buy him a pair of tefillin, and earlier by the other things we say, he's chayev. Why that change in lashon? Taisa says, because by the talis probably he has a garment. You don't have to go buy him. It's just a question of adding the tzitzis. And by the lulav, he says you don't have to buy him a lulav. He'll use his father's lulav. Whereas tefillin, ideally, should be worn all day, and you can't share the tefillin. Another reason he says because tefillin, due to the high price, the word lekicha is more appropriate. You have to actually go buy it. It's like a real intense, purchase, as opposed to the other ones. Lulav, how much lulav costs? So we don't accentuate the fact that it has to be bought. Okay, next on the list is a Mishnah in Chagiga. Hakol chayav in Re'iyah. Okay, all are chayav in Re'iyah to go up to the Beis HaMikdash during the Shalosh Regalim and bring the carbon Re'iyah. Lasuya Mai, who are we covering there? Who's included? Lasuya to include Misha Chetzi, Eved Vechetzi Bechana, a fellow who's half slave, half free. How's that possible? He was owned by two people. One said him go, let him go. So now he's half and half out. So although a full Eved is exempt from Re'iyah, Rashi brings because Pasuk says, go visit Hashem, so to speak. As Pnei Ha'adon Hashem, your master Hashem, as opposed to a person who has a human master over him and he's enslaved. So he's potter, but if he's half and half, he's chayev on account of the half that's free. Now, well, Ravina the Amar Kondra Ravina says that he's exempt. Okay, if half and half, you're still potter. So what's the Mishnah? Hakoil. Chayev Maria, who's that including? Lasuya Chigeb Yom Rishon, to cover a fellow who's crippled on the first day of Yom Tov, which exempts him from Riyah, because it says Shalish Regalim. It reminds me, Rashi says, Regalim ksiv prat labali kam, so Shalish Regalim is learned like regal, by foot. You have to be able to travel by foot, as opposed to a fellow who's disabled, can't do that. Remember, we once in Eretz Yisrael, and we decided to go visit the Kosel Ma'arabia. I was on Yom Tov, Chol HaMoed. If we would go late at night, there's less traffic. We took the car, we drove up to the old city, and sure enough, it was still blocked off. They wouldn't let traffic through. So there was this patrol car sitting at the entrance to the old city. He says, no, you can't get through. I said, what do you mean? We got to go up to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Kaisel. You know, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, for heaven's sake. So as we're talking to this officer who was standing at the car, suddenly this booming voice out of the loudspeaker. There's another guy, another sergeant in the car. And he calls out, Shalosh Rag, Ola Regel, Shalosh Rag Galim, Baregel, you gotta go by foot. He's sitting in the car giving us halachas of Alila Regel, go by foot, leave the car. That's what we did. We left the car there and we walked up to the Kaisel. Okay, so in halacha, we learned Regel means literally, you gotta be able to walk. So if this person is unfortunately disabled, he's potter. Now let's say he was cured on the second day. Chigiv Yom Rishon, it's Bashit. Got extended, meaning his feet are now able to walk, B'yom Sheni, on the second day. Now, typically, if a person misses the Aliyah L'Regel on the first day, he can make it up, right? All the, 7 days of Pesach, of Sukkot, right? Whatever, right? Shavuos too, right? Shavuos has 6 days of Hashlama, right? So there's that make-up period. Now, two ways to learn the make-up period. One way to learn is, one approach is, the chiv is primarily on that first day. If you miss the first day, then you have the whole week to make it up. But let's say you were put on the first day, there's nothing to make up. You're not chayev. You can only make up for a lost opportunity, which you're not chayev. Then there's no point in making it up. On the other hand, you can say, each day has its own obligation. Meaning, if you came the first day, great. If you don't, make it up. But the second day. The second day has its own sort of independent obligation now. If you didn't do it on the first day. If you missed the second day, you can make it up on the third day. But the third day is considered its own independent obligation. In which case, even if he was a chiger, exempt on the first day, but now he's healed on the second day, a new chiv kicks in on account of the second day. So, according to our understanding, the Mishnah is covering this fellow and obligating him on the second day, even though he was not really available on the first day. So that works if you say that each day is an independent entity. Independent obligation. That works according to the opinion who says, "Kulon tashlumen zelaze." That each day sort of makes up for the preceding day. Right? So the 7th for the 6th, 6th for the 5th. So even though you were exempt on the 1st, you can still be chayiv on the 2nd day. Oh no! Evel mandama kulon tashlumen lirishan. But according to the opinion, that holds that, no, the chiv rests only on the first day. And the rest are merely making up for the first day. So if he was exempt on the first day, he's exempt on the whole Yom Tov. L'asuy Yimai. So back to the question, L'asuy Yimai, what's Hakol coming to cover? Not this fellow. Who's he covering? L'asuy Yisuma Ba'achas Me'enov. It's covering a fellow who's blind in one eye. So if he's blind in both eyes, he's Potter. As we're going to see in a minute. Yira, you have to see, you have to go and see and experience the sights and the sounds, right? So if he's a Suma, he's Potter. But let's say he's a Suma only partially in one eye. He's Chayev. With the Loi Ki Aitan, as opposed to the following opinion, which exempts him. The son Yoichna Medavai Oimem Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, quotes Rabbi Yehuda, even a Suma in one eye, Bachas Meinov, is Potter Ben Ariya. Shenemar, he learns it from a Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Sholish Pamim Hashana, three times here, Yei Roi Ekol Zechurcha, Espnei El Pnei Adon Hashem. All your males should go experience their closeness with Hashem, exposure with the Shechina. Now Yei Roi should be seen, can also be read Yireh. He will see you, because it's only spelled Yud Reish Ein Hey, meaning you can read it both ways, Yireh and Yireh. So we learn it both ways. The way Rashi learns it, Yireh is going on Hashem. The way Hashem sees you when you come visit him, so to speak, with both of his eyes, Kavayachal, with full vision. Likewise, Yireh. You should be seen to Hashem. So Yireh and Yireh go hand in hand. Shenama Yireh Yireh Kederach Shabal Roy, just like Hashem experiences you, so to speak, and sees you with both his eyes, so to speak, Kaviyachal, just an expression, with his full vision capacity, nothing diminished. Kach Balei Roy is likewise. Hashem should be seen by you. Meaning, you should be seeing Hashem with full eyesight. Just like Hashem sees you with both eyes, likewise, and you see Hashem likewise. If you're missing, his eyes are diminished. The eyesight is somewhat diminished, even in one eye. So, Suma Ba'achas Me'enov is Potter. Another option on the word Hakol Chayav Meriyah. It's going back on the half slave, half free. And he's Chayav the Kokash Lach the Ravina. The question was, Ravina exempts him. Well, it's not so simple. It depends at what point in history we're talking. Like Asher. Kama Mishnah Rishayna. Ravina, who exempted him, was in line with the earlier version of the Mishnayis. That this fellow, even though he was only half-slaved, half-enslaved, he's enslaved and committed to his owner, to his master, in which case Ali LaRegel doesn't relate to him. Kan B'Mishnah Achroina. However, according to the final version of the Mishnayis, he's like a free man. We're going to see in a minute. We compel the half-owner to let him go. So he's not subject to his master's rule anymore. In which case, he's open to go up to other regal like anybody else. El Pnei Adon Hashem. Where do we find this discussion? The Sanya. It's not. Mishnah says, Mishnah Chetzi Eved, has been a person is half slave, half free. So we make this following arrangement. Oyvid is Rabbi Yim Echad. He works with his master on Sunday. Vesasman Yim Echad. The next day he works on his own. For himself. Meaning, one day he works, one day he's free. Divrei Beis Hillel. Armel Beis Shammai. Shammai turned to Beis Hillel. That's a great arrangement for the master. But this fellow is in limbo. He can't marry. He can't marry a free person or an enslaved person because he's in no man's land. He's a little this and a little that. Armel Beis Shammai. Tekanta Mes Rabbi. Yeah, you've accommodated the owner. But what about his own personal life? Like the Kantam, you haven't really accommodated him on that. Look, he's stuck in terms of marriage. At least a Shifcha and a Yachal can't marry a maidservant because he's partially a free man who cannot marry a Shifcha. Baschor and a Yachal, he can't marry a free woman. Yibatel, because of the slave side, so you want him to sit idle and not marry. But loy nivra oilam alapir of Yuri, the purpose of the world is to have it populated. Shinamar v'loy toyu b'ra, it's not meant to be left empty. L'shev is itself rather to be populated by its inhabitants. So that's not really a solution, El Pnei Tikkun HaOlam, but rather in order to engender and to bring to Tikkun HaOlam, we actually force the master to let him go, which will open the door to proper marriage. Koyvin as Rabbi forced his master, Vo'oys Oysi Ben Chern, to let him go, make him free. What about the value? V'koyisiv shtar al-chatzi dama. We force the Eved. We tell him, look, you got to give him an IOU on half your value, which belongs to this master, which eventually, hopefully, will pay up one day. So basically, he's slated for freedom, slated for shichrur. And therefore, says Rashi, since we can force the owner to do that, he's like, he's free. He's not serving to his master anymore. In which case, he can go to Hashem, he's not bound to a different master. And in fact, after this argument of Beis Shammai to Beis Hillel, B'chos Beis Hillel, L'hayrut Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel conceded to Beis Shammai, that is the appropriate procedure, gotta let him go, so he can go get married. What about HaKol Chayev Mitkiyas Shofar? All Chayev to blow a Shofar. L'suyimai. Who's covered in this? L'suyimai Shigei L'chinuch. Once again, a katan, once he gets of age. Rashi brings several shittos, whether it's 8 years old, 9 years old, and he's chayv to go hear the shofar. It's not as we have in the Mishnah. Typically, an adult shouldn't be playing around with the shofar on Yom Tov. You know, after you blow, that's it. It's like muktzah. But with the katan, we don't stop him, and the Mishnah continues. Actually, we encourage him. We train him in. Apparently, there's a point of training him in because he's chayv to hear the shofar on account of the mitzvah derabbanan of chinuch. What about Megillah? Hakol Chayev Mikra Megillah, who are included there? What about Hakol Kshar and Likrus Amsa Megillah? All are Chayev to listen, to read. Okay, so everybody has to be involved in hearing. And everybody likewise are Kshar and Likrus Amsa Megillah to read it on behalf of the public. Lasuya Mai, who are including here? Lasuya Nashim, even a woman, turn to the next Amid, is obligated to hear and is able to read on behalf of the crowd. Now, although typically a woman is exempt from time-related mitzvahs, this is different. Rav Shimon Levi, don't Rav Shimon Levi, Noshim Chayavis, Mikim Regila. Women are Chayav in Megillah. Why? Sha'af Hein Hoyu Bais HaNes. They were also involved in the Nes. Which Nes? They were saved from annihilation by Haman, right? So they were part of the Nes, part of the miracle of Purim. Rashi Maseches Megillah actually spells it out. He says, "Afal Anoshim Gozer Haman Lashmidan." Haman had in mind to destroy everybody, women, men, and women. So they experienced the nes like everybody. In which case, they have to partake in the full celebration. So that's Rashi's approach. But interestingly, the Rashbam goes differently. He says that Rashbam and Psachim. He says it's not just that they were included; they were the main players. They were the catalysts for the Nisan. So he says by Megillah, by Purim, it was Esther Amalka. Due to her efforts, her mysterious nefesh, on behalf of Klal Yisrael, we experienced all the nisim. Haman's downfall, etc. Now, where else do we find this phrase? Afin hoyi bois ha'anes, to obligate women in mitzvahs ha'aseh shazman gram, we find by Chanukah, right? The chayiv in the Neir is Chanukah for the same reason. And there as well, the Rashbam says, because there was a great woman by the name of Yehudis, who clandestinely, you know, slipped into the general's, you know, place there, and she chopped off his head, right? So she was the one that brought about instigated the whole process, right, to weaken the enemy and to bring the ness of the victory against the Greeks. And lastly, we find it by the Seder, Pesach at night, the four cases of wine. Women are chayv for this reason. The Gemara says, Afin hoyi bais ha'anes. So when Yetzias Mitzrayim, where were the women so front and center? Says Rashbam. The Medrash says, "B'schus noshim tzidkaniyos," because of the righteous women of Mitzrayim who were meisa nefesh to maintain the sanctity, maintain the family life, etc. Nigalu Yisrael Mitzrayim, that brought about our redemption. So not only were they included, they were the main players: Chanukah, Purim, Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's why they're chayv in these mitzvahs. Okay, so bottom line, we have two tracks. One is Erechin, one is Neidrin, right? One is based on a fixed rate set in the Torah, based on age and gender. One is Neder, based on, you know, market value. Typically, all are included. We have some exceptions. And we understand the word Hakoil covers things that were not mentioned in the Mishnah, whether it's by us, whether it's by Smicha, Tzmura. Sukkah, Lulav, etc., etc. Okay, all the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rabba.